Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Happy tryptophan. Excuse me. Happy Thanksgiving. I don't know where the confusion came from. Darren gets it. Tryptophan is that chemical that makes you sleepy after you eat turkey. I think that it's a myth that it actually does that, but that's what's been so that thus the joke that nobody here in the studio got except Darren.
Is that both dark meat and white meat?
I do not know. I don't know. I don't see color, Father.
Neither do I. I'm color. You're colorblind too?
No, I am not colorblind, but I have a colorblind brother. Are you colorblind?
I'm colorblind, yeah. Totally.
I'm going to talk to you about that, but first I should introduce you. Our guest this hour, for our first hour of this Thanksgiving show, is Father Hugh Barber. He is our chaplain here at Catholic Answers, and pretty much I would bet somebody is saying thank you to God that he is our chaplain every day around here. We're very happy and very blessed to have Father with us. He's a Norbertine priest of the Abbey of St. Michael to the north of us. Father Hugh Barber, thank you for being with us for this.
Glad to be here.
And now I should say for recording this, because it is not actually Thanksgiving Day for us. We're recording beforehand. So I don't want anyone to worry that we're missing out on our turkey and pie.
It's okay. Yeah. I think they'll manage.
Okay. Will you have
turkey? And if they're listening after Thanksgiving dinner, then they are people of great, great zeal.
They are. That's right. They're our favorites.
They're our favorites, right. We would like to be having Thanksgiving dinner with you if you bother to listen to us.
You are the people that we wish we were having dinner with.
Right. I would make it for you.
Although
if I
know
where you, were.
You often miss your confreres at the Abbey, and you're probably happy to be there with them for Thanksgiving.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Who does the cooking? Is there a cook there? Or?
We have there's a confrere in charge of the kitchen, and that's a priest. Confrere means a priest, and then they're sisters. Wonderful Dominican sisters from the Visayas in the Philippines, and who are expert cooks, and they do a magnificent job.
And they'll make turkey? You'll have turkey?
Turkey, ham, everything you can think of.
It is a feast day.
Right.
Why do we feast when we're giving thanks? What's the connection there between feasting and giving thanks?
Well, that comes from the tradition of harvest celebrations.
Okay.
And in preparation for the winter, the harvest celebrations, especially in England, I mean, that's where it came from. I mean, people are wrong when they think that the pilgrims so-called invented Thanksgiving, because they already had harvest celebrations in England for centuries.
So
you have a big celebration before the winter sets in, and you make use of the things that you've grown and whatnot, and to celebrate. And so that's the origin of it ultimately. You know, these Thanksgiving things that they call it Harvest Sunday, Thanksgiving Sunday. I mean, the Canadians have it. We have it. The English have it pretty much. I don't think it's something that you find in Southern Europe, because, of course, they have sunshine and abundance all year long.
And they have plenty of feast days.
Right, exactly.
Because of the liturgical calendar.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not a holy day. Thanksgiving.
No, and that's one of the nice things about it, not to sound too profane, but it's one of the nice events of the year which doesn't involve any kind of liturgical heaviness. We always say that at our Abbey because, you know, we have the Mass before the dinner and that's it, but there's no, big liturgical celebration before, and there's no big liturgical celebration after. It's just Mass and a big dinner. So we can thank our Protestant forebears, at least my Protestant forebears. I don't know about the other confreres, but in any case, thank them that they came up with this great idea, because it's a nice low-key celebration, and it's very beautiful. So we like it.
Well, are there any is there anything in the liturgical calendar of the Catholic Church which is devoted to giving thanks?
Well, in the Church, the Thanksgiving is associated with, I mean, in more recent history, with like a particular act of Thanksgiving is associated with the turn of the new year. And so the Church has a tradition, especially in the continent of Europe and in Latin countries, of singing a Te Deum, that is the hymn of thanks, the Church's hymn of thanks, on January 1st, to thank God for all the blessings of the past year and to ask his favor for the coming year. And the Church grants a plenary indulgence to those who perform that devout action on January 1st. But we're a long way from there. But it's good to look forward to it, because then you can prepare. Like at our Abbey, right before midnight on January 1st, we have Expectation of the Blessed Sacrament during the evening, and then we sing the Te Deum, and there's been a Blessed Sacrament, and then we go off and toast the new year. But there's plenary indulgence attached to it, which is a lot more than turkey.
I see. It's even better than turkey.
Even better than turkey.
That is
but
right.
Let's just say our custom is related to the fall harvest celebrations, which are perfectly normal human celebrations, you know.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So Father Hugh Barber, our guest, we're talking about gratitude and giving thanks today on Thanksgiving. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here for an open forum, an internet open forum. Father, how shall I put this? To some degree, I believe we live in an ungrateful age.
Well, I would say that the ingratitude goes back to the fall of man.
Ah, fair enough. Okay. So.
And so Adam disobeys God, and God says to him, "Who told you you were naked?" And then he says, "This woman that you put here with me, she gave me this."
He was
apple.
So happy about
and
her
ate,
before.
Right, exactly. So let's just say the fall is encapsulated by his initial excuse, where he shows a black ingratitude for the greatest gift God ever gave him.
And so, oh, right, you know, Father. Ingratitude is the first consequence of sin, really.
The fall, or even some people say that's what really cinched the fall. Because if he had said, "Don't blame her, blame me," maybe things would have been better. But ingratitude led him to just use her as an excuse and to complain. That's why at Thanksgiving, this is a warning: be good to your family. Don't complain about people. Don't complain about your crazy uncle or your mother-in-law or whatever. Just celebrate and be good. That's a really important point, because that way you'll show your gratitude to God for all that you have.
And that kind of matches up with what Jesus teaches us, that we show our gratitude.
I hope everything I say.
You know, as a priest and as a theologian, it's good when the things you say match up with what Jesus says.
I'm glad.
But I was just trying. I wasn't doubting that. I was just trying to make that connection, Father. Thank you. Essentially. Okay, I'm going to go to the parable of the debtor, the one where the debtor is excused a huge debt and then turns around and doesn't excuse a much smaller debt for another person.
Yeah.
That's a parable that's supposed to teach us what?
Well, it teaches us that we, if we want to be saved, we need to imitate our God who made us.
Right.
That is... as we pray in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. And even more, if you forgive men their sins, so much more will the Heavenly Father forgive you your sins. So we have to be constantly conscious of the goodness of God and the bestowal of His blessings, and imitate the one in whose image we are made. He's abundance, He's kindness, He's generosity. And so if we want to really show gratitude towards Him, the best way to do that is by imitating Him.
Imitating Him, right.
In our kindness towards others.
Right.
Sure.
Because, yes, in our kindness towards – so He's been kind to us. The gratitude, it's ungrateful for us to turn and be unkind to others.
That's a sign that you – well, the problem with that is not a question of justice. It's a question of not – well, it is a question of justice, but the point is that you don't – it shows that you haven't recognized the value of the gift that you've been given yourself.
Right.
When you start beating up on other people. Like, you know, God forgives you all your debts, and then you go after someone that has a smaller debt. It shows that you really didn't get what was done for you.
Yeah.
And that's the defect right there.
I have to say, Father, I do that all the time. Like, all the time. Like, people annoy me sometimes. Like, I'm driving and they cut in front of me, and I don't my immediate reaction is, God is so gracious to me. Let me be gracious to that person.
You know who cut in front of you?
Oh, Jesus.
Did.
Oh, you did? Because you're...
I'm the worst. At comfort, say, you are constantly cutting people off, and I don't even notice.
That's funny, because my wife won't let me drive. I'm such a bad driver.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm causing all of these these venial sins against charity because I'm such a bad driver.
All right, I'll think of that next time.
Yeah, because
next
I do. People honk their horn and go, what did I do wrong? And I realize, oh, I changed lanes like right when I wasn't supposed to.
But I guess it gives me a sense of maintaining that connection to what God has done for me. And I guess that's what I'm saying is when I'm out of touch with that, I'm surly. Okay, I'm surly with other people. And so I guess prayer is part of maintaining that gratitude as well.
To be sure, because in prayer we're asking for gifts or graces that by their nature are freely given and therefore the object of gratitude as well. I mean, in prayer we're not engaging in a transaction or an economic exchange.
Right.
We're just asking our Father to give us what we need. So, yeah, prayer should increase the gratitude of our heart, to be sure. But, you know, God gives to us over and over and over again, and we thank Him or we say we do, but then we do have this defect that even then we turn and don't show that we have understood by our ingratitude. So we need to keep working on that.
Yeah, I used to have a priest when I was a kid when we were on Cape Cod. Getting out of the parking lot in the summertime after Mass was horrible because, you know, Cape Cod is a huge tourist place.
Sure. And there are lots of Catholics there too.
But he used to say,
Irish Catholics.
Like this Mass should have some effect on how the parking lot goes. But it didn't.
That would be an interesting theological study, the effect of parking on Catholic morality and social spirit.
Yeah, it was like the law of the jungle took over as soon as we got out of the church. The law of the jungle took over.
Well, that's why people before, they didn't have cars and they lived in their neighborhood and they walked to Mass and they came out of Mass onto the sidewalk and met with everybody. But now we've got these giant parking lots that are an occasion of sin for many people. I've seen it.
Again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody who's joining us here on Catholic Answers Live today. We're not quite live. This is a pre-record for Thanksgiving so that Father and I can be...
We are alive.
We're alive. We can hope that we're still alive at this moment, but our voices are not coming
to
you.
Who knows? Next week, you don't know. You know, it could be...
We don't know the day nor the hour.
Right. By next week, we'd be disembodied voices. Gone to glory, as my grandmother would have said.
Yes. I'm going to express no preference on that at the moment because I know the next life is better than this, but
has to be.
I still have it has to be. Thank you, Father. That's right. But I want to talk to you because I know that you were trained by St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. I know that you were because you went to the Augustinianum and the Angelicum, their universities that they founded. Right. Wait a second. Maybe they didn't found them.
No, they didn't.
A little historical.
They were named after them.
They were named after them. But let's get some.
Somebody trying to get your attention.
I want to get some of your the classical these great teachers of the church, their teachings on gratitude, Thanksgiving. When we come back on this Thanksgiving episode of Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope your belly's feeling all right, but full. But I have a tendency to overdo, Father. I'm going to try really hard not to overdo. Here's the problem.
Well, the funny thing is,
go ahead.
You get back to the problem in a minute. But ironically, with the Liturgy of the Hours, In the new Liturgy of the Hours, I mean the one that is used commonly, the reading for Thursday on that day is every other week. I mean, there are 4 weeks in the Psalter for the Psalms, and the reading is often, like almost every other year, the kingdom of heaven does not consist of eating and drinking.
And it's that's great.
Every single Thanksgiving, you hear that in the morning and you just go,
what?
They didn't plan for the Americans. This is kind of funny. Well. Anyway, so, but it's a thought.
Yeah. So my problem anyways is that I like everything.
One of them.
And
I
eat one of my many problems. Yes, Father. Thank you for that reminder.
He's not my spiritual directee. So
but then there's the problem of pie. Come on. Like, I've already
eaten. Well, go for cake.
Yeah. No, I mean,
go for flan.
What are you, Marie Antoinette?
Well, there's several things there.
So from the fonts of your education and acquired wisdom, and maybe your natural wisdom that you have, tell us what the church tells us about gratitude. What does Thomas Aquinas say about it? Does he have anything to say about it?
Gratitude is what you call a special virtue that's related to the virtue of justice.
Okay.
It's very interesting because, of course, there are all the virtues of the Christian life, which you can read about in the Catechism. There's the theological virtues that relate us to God, faith, hope, and charity. And then there are the cardinal virtues, which regulate our moral life. Mm-hmm. And so there's prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Well, justice regulates our will with regard to what is due other people.
Yes.
Right. Now, in the case – and we use the word grateful very broadly – to refer to the acknowledgement of any good thing that anyone has ever done to us. But we have to always to consider the nature of the relationship that we have. And with regard to God, the virtue of justice is described, it's called the virtue of religion. That is, that we give him due worship, that we praise and honor him and love him and devote some part of our time and our resources and our attention to the concern for the things of God. So that's religion. Then with our parents, they also have done us something that we can't really repay.
Yes. Yeah.
And so consequently, our gratitude is, again, a kind of an accommodation. We call that the virtue of piety. Now, that doesn't sound like normal English usage, but it is. That is that we just show honor, respect, and love towards those who have brought us to life.
Yeah.
And related to that also is the virtue of patriotism, which, we consider very much at this Thanksgiving time. That is that not just our parents, but our country and our forefathers and those who defended us and provide us with the things we need. So strictly speaking, gratitude has to do with a benefactor who's neither God nor our parents, but somebody closer to us who has done us some favor. Now, favor means something which was free that you didn't pay for. You know, when you go to the grocery store and you buy 12 eggs, you don't thank the checker, oh, thank you so much for this favor when you hand them the money because you're paying for it. But on the other hand, when somebody whom you know, normally by title of friendship or an association, and this is the way children learn to be good because they do each other favors all the time. But they need to recognize that that's what's happening and begin to show gratitude. That's why the first thing practically you teach children is please
and thank you.
And thank you. It's
right.
Like the most obvious human virtue. So it goes down to the root of who we are if we're interested at all in being associated with other people. And so the gratitude has to do with those benefactors whom we love. I can go on and on about it, but if you have another question, I'll just
no.
Keep
I like
going.
It when you go on and on about it. I love listening to you talk about it. So, ingratitude is a form then of injustice. If gratitude is you called it a special virtue.
Special virtue under the virtue of justice. That is, it's not necessarily exactly justice because a gift by its very nature is not an exchange in justice.
Oh, I see. Right. You know, right.
So it's,
yeah,
it's
I'm not
kind
owed
of,
the gift.
Right. It's related to it. Or I shouldn't say special virtue, but maybe what's the other term? I'm trying to think. Now I can't remember the term.
Subsidiary.
But, there's another word for it. What is it?
Blah, 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 blah.
You can have a Thomas call in and tell me.
it's going to come to you as soon as we go off the air. That's how it
right. It's going to come up to me. I'll get, get to it later. But the the virtue of gratitude is such that we recognize that we're not really repaying someone injustice. We're actually making a rational, because the virtues are always ruled by reason, a rational response to some good that's done us. And we do that because that's our nature. And it would be irrational and therefore wrong and sinful if we didn't recognize that people do us good, even if it's not a transaction.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of a gift, gifts are very tricky things, because if someone gives you a gift, there's a moment at which it's just a pure gift. It's just something someone gave you. And like you're opening the package,
yeah,
and taking it out of its wrapping and delighting in it because it's just a gift. Now, very quickly to the human mind comes the thought, what should I do to repay this or return it?
Yeah.
And that's a good thought, but it's completely different. And this is the hard thing for us to see.
Yes,
completely
right.
Different from the fact that someone has given you a gift. That is, when your grandma gave you a Christmas gift, hopefully, she was delighting in your receiving something from her that was free and unmerited. And she's not waiting for you to return the favor. She just is happy that you're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to keep that in mind, that there's a delicate moment in which a gift is just a pure gift. That's it. It's just something that doesn't require any response at all. We're just receiving. And that's very important in the sort of so-called phenomenology of gift giving.
Yeah.
Now, later on, we may think, well, what am I going to give in return?
Yeah.
But that's something else, because that's also another gift that can't necessarily or doesn't necessarily equal the one we received.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why St. Thomas teaches in the Summa that it's wrong to repay gifts immediately.
Oh.
Because it implies to the giver that it's a transaction.
It's an exchange.
Like if you, yeah, know your beloved gives you a gift and you immediately like have right behind here this in return.
Yeah.
It's a payment.
Yeah.
So it requires a certain calm expectation of the opportunity for showing your gratitude.
Right.
But
right.
Immediate repayal is an indication that you're not grateful. That
isn't
just,
that something Aquinas
paying.
Is right about?
Oh,
that.
Oh yeah, he's totally right.
There's a and movie about mafiosi, but is that the right word?
Right.
And
oh, the term I was thinking of, the virtue is an integral part of the virtue, but not a special virtue.
Okay.
That's the term. Sorry. What? So if I misled anybody, don't tear your garments. Just pay attention to St. Thomas.
On Christmas, the mafiosi give each other Christmas gifts. And so they, you know, they're Italian, they're celebrating
they're
Christmas.
Human beings, yeah.
And so they, but what they do is they give each other envelopes of $100 bills. And so one guy gives the other, hey, Merry Christmas, here's your envelope of $100 bills. And the other guy gives the, and it's the exact same amount of money, but they gave each other a gift. And that strikes me as
that shows, yeah, that there's something wrong
they
there.
They really are not getting the concept of a
right,
gift.
Right, gratitude. Because yeah, immediate repayal is not, like, you know, I remember in our community, you know, occasionally I'd give someone a book to read or something to look at and whatnot. And then if the next morning it was in front of my door,
yeah,
I thought, well, he wasn't really interested in that, was he? You know, you just know right away that it's just a, you know.
Oh, you can know so, that I'm grateful then, because I never give books back. I have books that were loaned to me 30 years ago.
Me neither. Yeah, me
really?
Neither. Right.
All right. So the virtues have their opposite, though, right? That's one of the things that we so what is the – is resentment the opposite of gratitude, or is it
– That would be the extreme opposite.
Oh, okay.
And that you see in the case of Adam with Eve, you know.
Yeah, he resented
blames
her.
God. Woman you put here with me, she gave it to me and I ate it. So
right.
Why did you do that? You know, that sort of horrible attitude. But that's especially bad. But ingratitude is a little different. It just means that there's a lack of a disposition to give back in return for benefits received. And so you could say it can be motivated by laziness, by lack of charity, by all kinds of things, right. You know, ingratitude. But resentment would be the extreme, because that's where you – in this case where you would hate the person precisely because they did something good for you.
But,
and that is not uncommon. The sad thing is, in our culture, a lot of people resent the good things that people do for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Like their poor parents, for example.
I know a lot of parents are, in fact, resented.
Yeah.
But the parents did the best they could. I see this much more clearly now that I have young adult children.
Yeah, well, anyway.
brought the whole thing into clearer focus.
The whole I hate you mommy syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if there can be a deficit of gratitude, I wonder then if there can be an excess of gratitude and what that would look like. I'll ask you about that, but you can hear the music's playing, so we have to take a break. This is Catholic Answers
Live.
Very
good question, because there's an answer to it.
I love when my questions have an answer. And if there's anybody who could give me the answer, it's usually Father Hugh Barber. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
As Catholics, we hear expressions like dogma, doctrine, deposit of faith, and of course, magisterium. And adding to the confusion, we have the ordinary magisterium and the extraordinary magisterium. So what if you were looking for one book written for the layman that explained what all these terms mean and how they interact in the lives of the church and her faithful? The fact is, no such book existed until now. Brand new from Catholic Answers Press is Jimmy Akin's latest book, Teaching with Authority. Teaching with Authority is not about specific church teachings, it's about church teaching itself. A unique and long overdue resource for Catholics as well as those inquiring about the faith, Teaching with Authority will help deepen your understanding of what the church teaches by showing you how, why, and where she does. Get your copy of Teaching with Authority today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. If you just don't understand something about the Catholic faith, Call to Communion is the show for you. Join us Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to this Thanksgiving edition of Catholic Answers Live. We are delighted to have you with us. We're talking about gratitude. Thought Thanksgiving would be a good day to talk about gratitude.
Or is it gratitude, as they say in Philadelphia.
Gratitude?
Gratitude.
Yeah, a Philadelphia accent is very distinctive. You can usually tell.
Attitude, gratitude, yeah.
Yeah, and they say water. They don't drink water. They drink water there. I am a child of Philadelphia. I was born there. Did you know that I was born there?
I didn't know
I was born in
that.
The city of brotherly love. And
then you went up to the cold Northeast completely?
Yeah. And then, my dad was in the Navy, so we moved all around.
Okay, yeah.
But I also did second and third grade in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It has
snow. Did they beat
there.
You up?
Let me think. Probably
it's
at some
tough,
point.
It's a tough town.
It is kind of a tough town. It's a very nice place. But
of course, we love Philadelphia.
But once you come to San Diego, you're very spoiled as a child. You're like, definitely. What, it's sunny all the time? Okay, I'll take that. Yeah. All right, so we're talking about gratitude. I'm very grateful you're here to talk with us about that. And we talked about gratitude kind of a you're welcome. Is that what you said? the gratitude is a kind of corollary or a close cousin to justice. It's right there with justice. Correct me if I'm getting this wrong.
It's an allied virtue. That's one of the terms they use.
Oh, an allied virtue of justice.
Virtue
of
justice, right. I kept looking because I was
The original fall of Adam and Eve is certainly the forbidden fruit, that mysterious forbidden fruit. But that you said maybe the confirmation of the fall is the fact that Adam is immediately ungrateful for the thing he should, I shouldn't say thing, for the person he should be most grateful for and was just a moment before most grateful and that was Eve.
Yeah.
And so a lack of gratitude might be simply ingratitude, or in the extreme case, you might resent the person who has done you good, God himself, as in Adam's case.
Well, normally if you've hurt somebody and you haven't repented of the hurt that you've done them, then you tend to resent them.
Yeah.
Because they're a reminder to you of your fault.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is repent of hurting them and then you'll stop being so resentful. But anyway, that's just a parenthesis.
Okay. But I asked you before we went to the break, and I'm curious to know the answer actually. If there is such a thing as a lack of gratitude, is it also unvirtuous to have an excess of gratitude? Is that possible?
Well, I mean, one can always imagine that one could go to excess in anything.
Yeah.
But St. Thomas has that question of whether we are bound in gratitude to give more than we received.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a very refined answer. He points out that, well, to give precisely what we received would, again, seem like it was just a debt and justice and you're just repaying the deed done. So ordinarily, when you're grateful, you give back a little more or more than you received. And that shows that you recognize that it was a gift, because if someone gives you a gift, that's a free gift that doesn't expect repayment.
Yeah.
And so when you respond to it on another title, because it's not they're on two different tracks.
Yeah.
So when you respond to the gift, you give a little more to show that you recognize that it was a gift, you know,
okay,
that you're just giving freely.
Or let me just throw this out at you, if I may.
So like you know, your wife gives you one kiss, you give her two, you know.
I don't know that she would see that as she won that. She might see that
well,
as...
Well, whatever. I'm just giving an example.
I'm only kidding. She probably would, but...
Of course she would.
Here's my quote. What comes to mind when you talk about Aquinas and the gift and giving more when you give back is Aquinas comes from a noble family, and you can imagine these exchanges of gifts between nobles and one another. But the wealthy have an obligation to give to the poor and not expect anything back, and that's not generosity, right? That's a requirement.
Well, that's
of being...
That's actual justice. I mean, that's a different question,
right?
I mean, now the poor, on the other hand, are bound to show gratitude for the gifts given them by their benefactors. But the benefactors may have a strict obligation to give.
Yeah.
In fact, they certainly have a strict obligation to give. So it's again, gift giving, it's not a question of equality.
No, right.
You know, if the beggar is there and you're able to help him and you refuse, that's a sin.
Yeah.
Remember that. If a beggar's there and you can help him and you refuse, it's a sin. I'll say it a second time. If a beggar's there this is the third time right now.
Yeah.
And you refuse him, it's a sin. Now, you can call in later on or ask questions about it.
I mean,
the point is, now granted, if you yourself are poor, that's a different question. But that's just a religion of the Bible. So the obligation of the rich is very different, but it is true that the poor have the obligation to be grateful, to be sure.
And then they
respond in kind.
And that what you just said about it being
kind.
A sin is not even – you're not even doing theology. You're virtually quoting Jesus almost word for word. I mean, give to all those who beg for you.
But
that's
it's
a
controversial
command.
Now because
– Oh. Well, okay. Let me just ask you about that, because I know we have many areas of gratitude to cover, and – something that I have learned from you that I value very much is a clearer understanding of patriotism as loving the land and the people, the way one loves a parent, the way certainly not just in a militaristic way. I don't think most people think that, but also not as
not because they're the best in the world, but because they're yours.
Yeah, right. Not because they're the best.
Belongs to me.
Right.
It's like your own house and your yard.
That's a very
you
important
take care
thing.
Of it. You're not going to claim, well, my garden is better than you know the you know Descanso Gardens.
But you love it because it's yours.
Right.
And,
it's yours, and you take care of it.
All right. Okay. You know. That was a discursus on my part. Now let me return to my question. In talking about giving...
I'm the only one allowed to give discourses, so
okay.
you have to stick to the topic so I can
apologize.
Digress. Okay?
You're right. I don't have enough degrees yet. I need more degrees.
No, I'm teasing you.
Before I can give discourses.
Degrees of humility and charity and patience.
I believe I do know the plural of discourses, though, which makes me a very fancy person.
Which is?
It's not discursuses.
It's discursus.
Okay, but here's
my... Fourth declension.
Here's my... You stop making me laugh. I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
The obligation of the rich to the poor is an obligation in justice. That doesn't mean we're not grateful that people do justice to us. We should be grateful to those who do justice to us, to the rich that help the poor and all that. But it strikes me that in our era, and it may be, you might say to me, that's been going on since Adam and Eve. I know, but it strikes me that our era, because we think of our country as a, and I'm going to put this in quotes, meritocracy, that if you don't have, it's because you don't deserve. And so we are resentful of the poor.
That's especially horrible. But there it is.
Would you agree with me that it's a fact?
It's a fact. It does exist in our culture, and let's just say it's an excuse.
Yeah.
It's a way of justifying yourself. But particularly, I mean, it's sort of natural to envy or resent those that are better off than you are. But it's especially perverse to hate and envy those who are worse off than you are.
Right.
Because they remind you that you should be generous. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But that does exist.
But it seems to me we give ourselves permission on an awful lot. Like we'll say about Mexican migrants into the U.S. Well, they broke the law. And I agree with that. I actually I'm really for not breaking the law.
Yeah,
but that's not an excuse to lack compassion for the other person or to see them as a human being or to, you know, not or to be resentful of their efforts, you know.
No, and they're breaking the law. Is not necessarily a sin on their part. Just like
Wait.
If someone
what does that mean?
In the sense that we want our laws to be observed and we want a situation where they are to be observed. But let's just say, for example, someone is so hungry and lacks the means that he goes into a grocery store and steals two apples.
Yeah.
If he's really desperately hungry, he's not committing any sin. Now, he may bear the consequences, but the fact is, subjectively, he's doing what's necessary to preserve his life.
Yeah.
And these people, a lot of them, they perceive themselves in this way. And then it's up to the people that are supposed to have the wisdom of governing our society to establish the conditions and the means whereby we can have an economy that provides employment for people,
right,
whether they're citizens or non-citizens. And that doesn't justify illegal immigration or anything like that.
No.
But we mustn't demonize the people that are pressed by circumstances to come and find work here. And there's lots of it. I mean, our president has recently said, we're not against these workers coming. We need the workers.
Yeah.
I mean, the economy is booming at the moment, and there are lots of construction projects
and
in
Americans
New York.
And Americans aren't having as many babies as they used
right,
to.
Right. And our own citizens don't do these jobs. So it's a question of the legitimacy, the means whereby they can come in and go out. And that works in various places. I mean, it does. I mean, we have places in this country where we have lots of people coming in who are here legitimately and then send their money back home, and they go back for part of the summer and they return again to do harvest. They come back and forth. There are all kinds of possibilities. So we can't generalize about it, but certainly we shouldn't criminalize those who are simply looking for their sustenance, their survival.
Yeah.
We should recognize that our laws may be right and we have to enforce them, but we shouldn't impute to them evil motives.
Right.
Unless they have truly evil motives. But
yeah,
I mean,
like those gang members
right.
and
but that,
drug dealers
that's different.
And all that.
I mean, in
right.
principle, you know, we get the difference between a gang member and a drug dealer and someone who's just trying to come up to the States to get a job. I mean, all you have to do is look around in San Diego. You see lots of people that are just here because they want to work and nothing else.
Yes, right. Lots.
And, you know, and lots of us white folk, we're not here because we want to work. We're just here.
I know I am. I don't like working.
Talk all day long, right?
Yeah. Man, you are mean to me sometimes.
Not me.
I know, Father. Okay, so that went a certain So that all came from the fact that we were discussing what Aquinas said. When you're given a gift, maybe you would give a little more, different time and all that. But that does not necessarily apply to the poor person who receives what they need from the rich person who has an excess. They can't give more. So that's not...
No, but I mean, but the return on a gift doesn't have to be exactly the same thing. It's not currency. They can return the gift by prayer for their benefactor. I mean, that's the most traditional thing.
Right.
When you receive alms, you pray for your benefactor and you gain for the benefactor spiritual goods, or you pray for your benefactor's departed. And we just had Trick or Treat, where we go around and teaching all our children that they're just supposed to go up to people's houses and get free candy for nothing, you know? But I mean, originally, that was because people went up and said, give us something and we'll pray for your dead. It was an almsgiving thing, and kids don't even know that anymore. So what I would tell kids who are going on trick-or-treat is that whether you say it or not, you should be praying for the departed of the people that give you the candy.
Oh, what a great thing. Yeah,
yeah, just pray for those people.
Right, right. We have to take a break.
Okay.
More on gratitude with our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
What makes me happy is listening to Catholic radio. I'm by myself a lot, had a concussion as a child, and I can't see very well, but I do work, I go to church, and I'm an on-fire convert, and as a child, more or less, I've learned to have a good sense of humor whenever I can, and I'm very appreciative of everything I have, and especially Catholic radio.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm having more fun than I should be allowed to have because I always have fun when I get to sit here with Father Hugh Barber and talk about the faith.
Same to you, but more of it.
Oh, thank you, but more of it. Now your turn.
Yep, okay.
I thought we were supposed to get...
You're the chipmunks thing.
After you. Father Hugh is a Norbertine priest, order of Prémontaine.
Prémontré.
Sorry.
An
ancient order.
Yes.
Founded by St. Norbert.
In 1121.
In 1121, way down in the southern part of the northern part of, is it Japan? Where was it? I have no idea.
It's the northeastern part of France. He founded the order.
No, that's what I was going to say.
Near Lyon.
Right.
But he was actually from Cologne in Germany. So, and then he became bishop farther east in Saxony. So he was all over the map.
Do people from Cologne smell good? Have you ever noticed that?
I would suppose so. I mean, that's where it's called water of Cologne. That's where it started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's some kind of sweet water there. Father, is there anything that I can ask you that you're just going to go, I don't know?
No, but they
did?
It was the Napoleonic invasions. They started selling it to the French troops who invaded, and so it became famous everywhere. And then the French imitated it and started making perfumes and colognes and everything, which was a good idea for them, definitely.
For all of us, Father. That's and then eventually we reached the heights of civilization with Chanel No. 5. Yeah. Now, enough talking about perfumes. I want the sweet odor of gratitude here. We're talking about gratitude. Here, I got a question for you, Father. Okay, here's Mary. She never sinned. You're familiar with her, Mary, the mother of Jesus. She never sinned.
I'm more concerned that she'd be familiar with me, but I am familiar with her.
God bless you, Father. That's
but
a,
I do want her to be familiar with me.
Okay, so I'm sure she's quite familiar with you. And I'm sure she will have words for you about the way you treat me. But Bill, let's leave that aside for a moment. Okay, so then there's Mary Magdalene. Okay, you're familiar with her as well. She's, she's apparently some kind of horrible sinner or something. And
she wasn't. She
demoniac.
Had all kinds of difficulty. Right, right.
Right, all these things. Who's more grateful to Jesus and who should be more grateful? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, well, there are two ways to regard gratitude. That when someone's innocent, as Our Lady was, the obligation of gratitude is based upon the objective gift that's given to that person. Like Our Lady was given a greater gift than say poor sinners get.
Right.
So she's bound in virtue of what God gave her to be more grateful.
Okay.
And that's the stronger case. The better the gift, the more the gratitude.
Okay.
But on the other hand, and that's why this church sings every evening a Magnificat.
Yeah, right, where Mary expresses her.
Right, expresses her gratitude.
The depth of her gratitude.
That's like the model of it. But on the other hand, we also have to consider not just the nature of the gift, but also the need of the receiver. This is how St. Thomas presents it. The need of the receiver. And the poor sinner is much more desperately in need of the gift of pardon than
Mary.
Right.
Yeah, right. So
and so from that point of view, the sinner has more of an obligation to be grateful than someone who just was innocent.
Yeah.
But there are two different aspects. One is the nature of the gift, and then the other one is the need of the recipient. Now, the fact is with Our Lady and with the saints, they realize that in the end, they don't distinguish very much, because if God hadn't given her that gift, she would just be like Mary Magdalene, or worse.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
And Mary Magdalene knows that in God and His goodness, He can restore her to a level of grace that lifts her to the level of His mother or close, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, but there are two different ways of looking at it. Yeah. But basically, everyone's bound to gratitude, whether you're good or bad.
Have you ever encountered this among Christians? Because I'll confess it to you if you have not. Maybe in my less mature self, I think sometimes we have the idea that when we do something good, God should be grateful to us. That you're welcome, God, for what a good person I am.
Well, that's not entirely a crazy idea, but we need to see it in the proper light.
Okay.
Our Lord says, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents.
Yes.
Than 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. Now consider this. What does joy in heaven mean?
It means God. It means, God.
First
is
of
our
all,
joy.
The heart of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when someone gives you joy, you're grateful to that person. And so if you want God to be grateful to you, repent.
Oh, man.
Because
that took a twist I didn't expect.
Yeah, because he loves...
Because you're giving him joy when you do.
Right, exactly. And a new joy, because he loves nothing more than to pardon us.
I think that's very hard for many people to believe, or if they do believe it, to hold on to the idea that he really takes joy in pardoning us.
Almost to the point where you would think he was indulging our sins just to get us to come and confess them so he could forgive us. It's not quite that bad. St. Paul says, shall we sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. But the fact is that once we repent, he's very happy, and he pardons us out of gratitude, because we've come to him. So whatever your sins are, just repent and he'll be grateful to you and forgive you.
Wow. Wow. I feel dumbfounded by that. It's just so beautiful. We have such a good God. God is so gracious and good to us. I wonder if as we celebrate this Thanksgiving, well, we're a little early. We're a few days early recording this to celebrate Thanksgiving. Anything you're particularly grateful for this year? Anything that you're like, Yeah.
Well, there are many things I'm grateful for, but one thing this year would be, as Americans, the beatification last November, almost a month ago, not quite a month ago, a year ago, excuse me, of the newest American blessed, Blessed Solanus Casey.
He means a lot to you, huh?
Right. Well, this is interesting in the connection with this question of gratitude, that that was one of the principal themes of his teaching. You know, he kept the door at the monastery there in Detroit, and he principally advised people to express gratitude. He always said, thank God ahead of time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then he had a really brilliant statement, which, because he was regarded as adult, that couldn't, adult, D-O-L-T,
yeah,
who couldn't, you know.
That he just couldn't cut it.
Yeah, well, yeah. He was an Irishman oppressed by Germans, so what can you do? But he...
First time that ever happened.
Well, it was, because they didn't... Well, actually, well, anyway, it's a whole long story. But the point is, if there are any Capuchins listening, they'll like that, because they know the history of their order in the Midwest and all that. But he said that the principal sign of an intelligent man is gratitude.
What a beautiful thing. But it's a very different conception of intelligence, see? And that's the point.
We don't associate it with it, because you go like, if you don't get it, that you're object of great mercy, then you're just being stupid.
Yeah.
So acknowledge right. the good things you've received, and then you will be intelligent. Not because what we do is we think we're intelligent or beautiful or gifted because we're receiving all these things. But the main thing that would show our intelligence, if we were grateful for those things, that would show it more than just adorning ourselves with the blessings we received.
I worry about these young people who say things. And, we have these wonderful parents here, or potential parents, or we got some that are expecting, or their wives are expecting, right here in the radio department. But they say this, and it horrifies me. And I don't know if it's ingratitude or just a worry on their part. But they say, why would you bring a child into this world?
Oh, no. That's just like – that's the devil's reasoning.
What is that?
Completely. No, that's like – I mean, look at that. Adam and Eve conceived children after they were expelled from paradise. It wasn't very pretty, but they did it. So just – We have to keep it up.
But does that strike you as ingratitude, or just that they have been taught?
That's fear. That's just fear.
It's fear.
Yeah, it's fear or lack of courage, you know, because there's that. But the benefits are there. But it is true, we have to be wise and prudent in the way we raise our children. But certainly the evils of the world are not a reason not to have kids. That's like giving in to the other side.
That's like saying completely. The greatest good that you could do in your life, don't do it.
Is extinguish yourself.
Because there's so much bad in the world.
Right,
well, that makes no sense.
No.
Those things are, all right. Well, I guess I started off by asking if we live in an ungrateful age. I wonder if the fact that we attribute so much to ourselves, that, we're so advanced technologically and all that, makes us ungrateful. You know, that we take so much credit.
Well, I think that there's it's not so much that we attribute to ourselves, but we take it for granted. You know, everything is automatic and technologically advanced, and there's new stuff all the time. And who can be grateful to Apple or Facebook or Google? I mean, it's just
stuff keeps coming.
It's the world. It's the empire.
Right. But it does. Sometimes it seems that when we have all these luxuries, we're less grateful than the person who doesn't have all the luxuries.
Yeah, well, that's undoubted, because that's our fallen nature. It's very easy to become that way. Yeah.
I'm starting to really not like Adam and Eve now. You're making it.
What do you mean? They're like happy in heaven now.
Thank God for that.
Jesus liberated them on Holy Saturday and brought them to heaven.
I thought there was some kind of teaching. No, I know this isn't a church teacher, but is there some kind of tradition that Adam would be the last soul in purgatory? Have you ever heard that?
Oh, no. He was the first out.
First out.
Look at all the icons. Our Lord yanking him out of limbo, not purgatory.
God is good.
He is very good.
Oh, let us have your blessing, if we may, on this
certainly.
Thanksgiving.
So have a wonderful Thanksgiving and be good to each other. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filius, Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper.
Amen.
Amen.
Father Hugh Barber has been our guest. Father is the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, and you can see why we are very grateful for that. We have a lot to be grateful for here at Catholic Answers. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for the support you have given us, whether through prayer or through your financial support. And we're grateful to be able to share the good news when we try anyways each day to come on the air and share the good news. Let's keep that up. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.